Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we review the new and the old in nerd movies. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. You've been warned, motherfucker. What up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? How's everyone doing this week? Hope everyone is well. Christian, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, geez, why that was the loud. Fuck are you so loud?
I'm sorry.
It has to be that loud. It doesn't have to be that loud.
It does not, you goddamn son of a bitch.
Shut up, Daniel.
So we have our resident racist in the building.
Naked mole rat supreme.
Daniel Mauricio.
Hashtag pretend dad bod.
It's not to pretend. It's been a lot of hard work for this bod.
Yeah, for that toddler bod.
Yeah.
You're like a well-groomed toddler.
And that's
not even well-groomed. That's more. You're just like a toddler that was allowed to grow up.
Barely.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are here on this beautiful Friday, Film Review Friday, everyone, to talk to you about Justice League.
What?
This is a movie that, you know, just came out, like, yesterday.
Wicked.
You know, worldwide, pretty much. Thursday previews and that. So, yeah, we went to the Thursday night showing at 6 p.m. in Elk Grove, California. That was fun.
It was.
So, initial thoughts, everyone. What did you think, Scott, specifically right now? Daniel, we'll get to you. Of Justice League.
I thought it was surprisingly good.
Yeah, it wasn't a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Like BVS. Sorry, BVS fans.
Or Man of Steel.
Or Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't Wonder Woman.
No.
Good, so.
Nor Thor Ragnarok good either.
Daniel, we're talking about DC films, okay?
Hey, they're still.
Get with the program, friend.
Yeah. So, expand a little bit on your surprisingly good.
I mean, wait, what about your thoughts?
My thoughts. Movie was quite enjoyable, not without problems, of course, but it's a step in the right direction and makes great efforts to make up for the problems in BVS and some of the other DC Extended Universe films.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like Christian said, this film is not without its own problems. Because there is a plethora of problems in this film.
And that doesn't include what Daniel considers a problem of Darkseid not being in the movie. Because that has nothing to do with the movie. So,
I mean, we all knew that Steppenwolf was going to be the main villain.
Yeah.
And I thought he was actually pretty good.
You know, Daniel over here. Tell him why you're upset, Daniel. Tell him.
Tell him.
Try to start with the thing.
You got to step up to the mic, buddy.
Should I start with what made me excited first, or should I start with what pissed me off first?
You just.
All right. What pissed me off, okay, like it goes back to BVS. I got super stoked when they showed the fight scene when Batman's fighting with the parademons.
Yeah.
Sure.
In his dream nightmare sequence.
And,
yeah.
You know, I completely thought they were teasing Darkseid. I mean, yes, at one point I figured I knew that they were using Steppenwolf or whatever the fuck his name is. But.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't want to give away spoilers, but the fact that he doesn't show up in this movie and it doesn't look like he's going to show up in future installments, at least for now, for me, is quite irritating.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it remains to be unseen whether or not they will be using Darkseid for the next film, but based off of, you know, the post-credit scenes, it would lend us to believe no.
Yeah.
So, where do I start?
Where do you start?
Where do I start?
Do you want to start with things we liked or story problems or you know, just kind of run through your list there?
Yeah, I mean, I did create a list for once. I think the major part is the movie wasn't long enough, right? The film was obviously really rushed. You can tell that, you know, there was underdeveloped character storylines, and it seemed like a lot of those scenes, like when Batman is like trying to introduce himself to and recruit our other heroes, that they almost seem like incomplete scenes, like they were cut at a certain point and just to copy and paste those scenes, and then that kind of compiled the movie a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily it was rushed. From word on the street is, or word through news media outlets, is that Warner Brothers cut about an hour off this movie.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
Oh shit.
But so I wonder if we'll get that hour, in the, you know, special edition release of the DVD or Blu-ray. Daniel, hold on.
I was just going to add that basically they most likely will. They did the same shit with BVS where they gave us the extended cut, which added about somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes.
I bet it was still garbage.
And they even did that with Suicide Squad where they said, we won't have a special edition.
Right. I think in... I don't know if this is necessarily a negative thing, but there's two obvious, like, conflicting tones of the movie. Because obviously we are privy to the information that, Zack Snyder, like, he stepped away, you know, from, you know, personal family issues. And then Joss Whedon takes over and does some rewrites, finishes up and wraps up the film that he's already been working on. And you can tell a lot in the movie, like, where the rewrites are. You know, you could just, like, if you're familiar with Joss Whedon, you can really tell. Like, yeah. It's pretty obvious. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, because, like, I feel that Joss Whedon's, like, rewrites more than likely improve this movie.
It's possible. I mean, you don't really know exactly what he did and what Zack Snyder did, but you can kind of infer based on both of their previous works. But yeah, if you didn't know, like, Joss Whedon took over, you know, it's not so readily obvious that more than one person worked on this movie, but you can tell definitely that the studio had their fingers in it.
Right. CGI.
It's clusterfuck. CGI clusterfuck.
Yeah, dude, it was plastered from beginning to end. Some of it not even good CGI.
Henry Cavill's CGI'd out mustache.
Steppenwolf's face.
Yeah, like the entire character of Steppenwolf was CGI'd and really wasn't too... It really wasn't that good. It
wasn't very convincing, yeah.
You know, the sets, obvious CGI'd.
Oh, yeah.
Sets and, you know, all those things. You could just tell by, like, the way, like, the camera angles are. And, like, I'm not even a person that usually gripes too much on CGI, but, like, at times I felt that I was taken out of the movie a little bit. Because I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm like, it's so obvious that it's CGI.
For a movie with that kind of budget, there shouldn't be CGI issues.
Right. And then just some of the CGI, like, why was Batman in the beginning of the movie, like, when he's on the rooftop and he's, like, he trapped the parademon and he set up the trap for him or whatever, like, why was he so CGI? Like, why was that so CGI?
My theory is because, obviously, Ben Affleck can't do those stunts. And right. So, I don't think anybody that size could do those stunts, and they don't want to make Batman look smaller to just do these stunts. So, they had to CG it all.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. Cyborg, obviously, CG'd.
Yeah, he looked pretty all right, I think.
I think he looked all right, but I think, you know, there was ways that they could have created more of a costume than CG'ing, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, seemed a bit ridiculous.
His head looked fine, but his body looked weird.
Yeah.
Like, until, like, the end where, like, he, like, has more of his classic look. Like, his body starts doing more of that classic look, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, the upgrades. But, like, during the film, like, his body just looks weird.
Right.
So.
So, you know, story-wise, what did you think, like, story-wise?
I think the story is where this movie suffered the most. One of the big plot things is Steppenwolf, obviously, and he comes about and he's, you know, all of a sudden back on Earth and he's like, oh, well, Superman's not here. It was my perfect opportunity to come back. But then we are also told that the mother boxes have been on Earth for, like, ever, like, whatever the fuck Wonder Woman's mom's name is. She's like, oh, yeah, this box has been here for centuries. Why all of a sudden is it doing this, you know? And we get, like, this big flashback about it, like, you know, a long, long fucking time ago. And it's like, Superman hasn't been on Earth that long. I mean, and he just died. Like, he was, what, 30 when he died? Like,
right.
That's 30 years in the span of 5, 6, 1,000 years. You know, you don't know.
Right.
So, why all of a sudden are the mother boxes activating? They don't really explain that. And, that, you know, that could have been maybe explained better from some of the scenes that were cut out. You know, there are a lot of things in this movie that, as it goes on, it's kind of unexplained. Even, like, how Superman finds them in Russia at the end, which I have a theory on that. But the story is where it really suffers.
Right.
But.
Yeah, there's a ton of, like, loopholes within the movie. Like, what'd you think about, I'm going to get to something in just a second, but Steppenwolf, what'd you think him as him, like, as a villain, you know? Like, did he work? I felt that, like, personally, like, I think he was, like, a good villain. I just think he's a good villain until Superman shows up, just due to, like, the varying power levels. Like, obviously, Superman's so much stronger than him that he's not an adequate villain if Superman is within the lineup of the team.
Right. I mean, Steppenwolf isn't great. He's nothing special. His dialogue isn't amazing or anything. He's not, like, a good, powerful, motivational villain or whatever. He's just an evil guy trying to do evil things, and that's kind of what he is in the comic books. I don't really knock him for that. He's not really a strong choice as a villain in general, but there wasn't anything about him specifically that was like made me like hate him, you know. He's just
right.
He's just a run-of-the-mill kind of villain. So,
well, I mean, I think he was like a pretty good villain, like I said, until Superman enters the fold, because, you know, they can't exactly take him on by themselves. So, which makes him, like, an adequate villain, you know, somebody that can actually challenge them.
But, see, this is, for me, this is why I felt like Darkseid was a better choice, because he would have presented a greater threat, not just to the
humanity.
Well,
there's only one move they can do right now, Daniel, and they have to build up to it.
But their track record suggests they won't build up to it, though.
I mean, that remains to be unseen. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Justice League 2 could be the next... You know, that's maybe where we meet Darkseid for the first time.
But I do agree with you for the most part. He was an adequate villain. But yeah, like once Superman came into the fold, it changed the dynamic wholeheartedly.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
It just kind of
like I thought he was pretty badass. Like, and like the one thing I really wanted to talk about was like the dawn of time or not the dawn of time, but like, you know, like the many, many years ago battle, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
Like the Amazonians, the Atlanteans, the quote unquote, they say old gods, you know,
men.
Humans, they all team up to fight, you know,
Steppenwolf and the parademons.
Yeah, exactly. They had this battle before. And, you know, during that battle, he was super badass. Like, his fight sequences are really cool, and he's a very... You can tell, like, you know, he's bred for one thing, and that's to fight.
Right.
And, you know, during that little scene, you see Green Lantern, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're a stickler for words, so I'm not literally saying, you know, the main characters of Green Lantern. It's just
a Green Lantern, yeah.
You know, but... And then, here's my thing, right, is I have two theories, obviously. So in that scene, you see there's a guy like kind of flying around, like shooting lightning bolts, like around, and it's a little confusing, right? Because it doesn't exactly look like a Zeus-esque character, because Zeus has a very particular look to him, right? Has like a very like Stone Age like
beard,
grayish white hair usually, and almost every iteration of Zeus mythology that I know of, that's kind of what Zeus looks like, or even like blonde hair. That guy had like I think blackish hair,
yeah,
and no beard
and short hair.
So I was wondering, is that like the original Shazam? Like, is there, do we know? Because obviously if we're anybody's current with like nerd news, you know, DC is planning on doing Shazam, you know, Black Adam pretty soon and all
right.
that good stuff. So would this not be a good introduction into like the old god version of Shazam?
Well, I mean, the Shazam was a wizard who granted Billy Batson, this kid with the powers of different ancient gods like Solomon, Zeus, Atlas, Hermes, I think, maybe. I don't know. The H stands for something, guys. But I do think it was Zeus in that flashback, maybe just a reimagining of him. But that is a part of Shazam as well. So even if it's not the wizard Shazam who grants Billy Batson, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, later to become named Shazam, in that scene, it is a part of who he will be eventually.
Yeah, you know, potentially. I just thought, you know, food for thought kind of scenario there that, you know, hey, maybe that is him.
It's definitely
maybe
a nod
it's
as to
not.
What is to come.
Yeah.
So
either way, right? All right. So I guess it's time to get into character breakdowns then. No?
Yes,
no, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, what we thought about them, like were they convincing as an actor? You know, maybe some memorable moments or whatever.
Yeah.
The Flash.
We're going to start with the Flash?
We'll start with Cyborg.
Okay.
Daniel, what'd you think about Cyborg?
Outside of his look, I mean, I actually liked the actor. I thought he did a fairly good job for, you know, I don't know much of his body of work prior to this, but from what I saw, I actually enjoyed his performance quite a bit. The only, like you said earlier, though, the only thing that kind of took away from that was the awkward design of the CGI from him. But
right, yeah.
But away from that, I actually thought he did a good job, and I actually thoroughly enjoyed his performance of as Cyborg.
Yeah, Christian?
Yeah, the actor did a good job. I mean, there were a lot of things set up for Cyborg that never really paid off in the film. But that just goes to either the cutscenes or the runtime or whatever you want to say. But yeah, I like the character. I think they're going to do a lot with him in the future. I think he'll get a little more lighthearted as time goes on, you know. Obviously,
right. He's,
like, suffering from, you know, pretty much being reborn. I don't know necessarily if I like the idea of him being kind of created from the Mother Box technology, but it doesn't bother me in any way.
Right,
so.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think, like, using the Mother Box technology was a good move? I mean, it's an overly easy way for them to explain it.
They had to do that for the conclusion of the film, essentially.
Right, yeah.
For it to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
Fucking, you know what I'm talking about.
I'm losing my words, guys. Well, I mean, at the end, right? So he's able to pull apart the boxes and each box is supposed to represent power of in itself, the rawest version, you know, form of power.
Energy and power.
And how else would somebody be able to pull it apart if not that their powers, you know, derive from the boxes themselves?
Yeah, or, you know, if they're a Kryptonian.
Yeah, or if, you know, you're indestructible Kryptonian that, you know, only little green glowing green sticks affect you.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I quite enjoyed the actor's
moxie
version. Yeah, his moxie, yeah, for sure. I think he was a great Cyborg, exactly like Daniel said. The CGI maybe took us off, and maybe like the, you know, they spent quite a bit of time building up the character within this movie, and I just maybe the payoff wasn't quite there for the character. I feel like out of any of our new heroes, Cyborg was, you know, had the most attention, you know, the most backstory-ish kind of thing going on. The Flash had the least amount, and, you know, Aquaman had
meh.
You know, he was very,
which
know.
Is another thing, I mean, that Jason Momoa came out and talked about was they cut out Willem Dafoe's character, who is like a guide for Aquaman, pretty much like the person who is his link to Atlantis at this point, because, you know, and pretty much tells him you're the rightful king or whatever, but then he gets like rejected and stuff. Apparently they cut all that out of this movie, so we kind of don't get that. We just kind of get him going to Atlantis and arguing with Mera and then taking off with his
That's what I'm saying. That was like another very confusing part where they're like, well, we'll just leave the fans confused and it'll be okay.
Oh yeah, people who don't read comic books have no idea what went on in that scene.
Yeah. Exactly. And let's just be honest, that scene wasn't very good.
Yeah, it's going to throw people out of the movie. Like
they missed a huge opportunity to like to show Atlantis in all of his glory. Like Atlantis is like this really beautiful like underwater like city.
Right.
You know, they just kind of almost showed it off as like ruins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it felt like a really missed opportunity. And they really didn't even show like the real Atlantis. I felt like that was like an outskirt temple of Atlantis or something.
I felt more like it was like a dungeon or somewhere because it just had it was right a place where they had the mother box. So we
Mara's powers were pretty cool though.
Yes, right. Yeah. Mara, I love Mara as a character in the comics, and like she's even getting her own comic book series coming up, I believe. So nice. If you guys like her, check that out. But I think people who don't read comics are completely thrown out by this scene, have no idea what's going on, who that is, and probably didn't connect that when Aquaman was like, oh, I'm going to go, but I need to take one thing. People probably didn't connect that it was the trident.
Right. So. And you know, the armor as well.
Right.
You know, so, all right, we're already talking about Aquaman, right? And obviously his backstory, not there. And that's what I was talking about when I said underdeveloped character storylines. They don't show us the whole story. And this is exactly what I meant by it. It just seems like there's just a lot of pieces kind of glued together, essentially, I felt like, in this movie.
Yeah, that's one of the things I actually had written down was because we talked about Rogue One again this week, and one of the things I talked about later with Scott was how it seemed a little fragmented, and then I thought about that while watching this movie. Was this movie also quite just fragmented? Pieces thrown together, but not really ever coming together necessarily?
Right, yeah. That's exactly what it seemed like to me, at least. Danny, what'd you think about Aquaman? Well, Jason Momoa.
Well, first and foremost, I fucking love Jason Momoa. I've seen him quite a bit. I know this is DC, but he won me over as Eric Draven last night for The Potential Crow. But overall, his performance, I thought he was fantastic. I was talking to you about it last night, and you kind of hit it on the head. He kind of was like almost like this outlawish version of Aquaman, because the way he walks, the way he presents himself is like this utter badass.
Yeah, just like a completely like edgy version of him.
It's a lot like Flashpoint Aquaman.
Yeah. And, just a more of them version. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But my favorite scene with Aquaman was when he, I don't know if Wonder Woman had put
when he's sitting on the Lasso of Truth.
Yeah, and he's just spilling his guts out and looks over.
What do you think about, sorry to cut you off, Daniel. What do you guys think about like the Polynesian tattoos on him and stuff like that?
I loved them.
I thought it was awesome. Yeah. It's good.
Like, do you think like that's a good like addition to Aquaman?
Yeah,
I think even I think
though that he's
sense.
Not from Atlantis and sense. He, you know, he didn't grow up there and, you know, he's actually like a city kid that became Aquaman essentially.
Well, you got to think about it in the way that, right, Aquaman is only half merman.
Yeah.
His mom was from Atlantis. His dad was a human. So what makes most sense is someone who lives in the water, where are they going to go? They're not necessarily going to go to the shores of New York or something. They'll go to the warm waters of the Caribbean or something, you know, or something like that. And I think that
Maybe.
Makes a lot more sense for her to mate with a Polynesian human than someone off the coast of Florida.
I don't know. Like maybe like highly maybe, but it's still like, it almost like, it also makes me wonder, is it Polynesian tattoos? Are they trying to pull off the Polynesian look, or are they trying to say like, those are what like Atlantean people look like. Like they're born with those marks on them.
I actually believe they're actually his real tattoos. Like they're not part of the movie. I think he actually has Polynesian tattoos on him.
I don't think so.
I don't remember those tattoos being on him when he played Khal Drogo.
Definitely
in
not.
Game of Thrones.
I mean, they could technically, you know, CG them out or make up over them or something, but I highly doubt that they did. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have tattoos like that, Daniel.
I'm pretty sure he does, but I'll have to double check on that.
I mean, and if he does, that's pretty cool. But
what do you guys think about like the contacts they used like for him?
I liked it.
Liked them?
At first, I didn't.
I mean, it was super obvious he was wearing contacts.
Yeah,
so.
But I also like how like his natural scar on his eyebrow like really enhances like his look. I really like that. Like,
He's just a mean looking fucking dude. But
he's cool. I like Jason.
He is
Momoa.
Like the most man in the world.
I almost lost faith in Jason Momoa after he got cast as Aquaman, and pretty much that was just like fuck Marvel. Marvel sucks. Blah blah blah. But you know, he's just putting on a show for the fans because even
you mad, bruh? You
he even
mad?
Said, he even said recently in an interview, he's like, dude, I'd love to be in a Marvel film and fight Hulk and shit, like.
He didn't mean like cast as like a Marvel character. He meant like I think he personally probably meant that, you know, he wanted to be Aquaman fighting Hulk.
Oh, that'd be cool as well. So make it happen.
Talking about, you know, that sort of thing, right? Hulk is a very powerful character, and talking about powers, why does it seem like Aquaman's like power levels varied so drastically in this movie?
Why did everyone's power levels vary drastically in this movie?
Like, yeah. There's only one character, right? And we'll get to him later, is Batman. His power levels always stayed the same.
Money?
Yep.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Aquaman like swam super fucking fast. Like, everyone was super fast in this movie, guys, except for old man fucking Batman over here over the hill. But like,
back in my day,
Wonder Woman was like speeding through shit at the beginning of this movie, like, yeah, so fucking fast, and then like suddenly not so fast. Sometimes she liked to use her party trick of using her wristbands and rubbing them together quite a bit,
right,
like a grasshopper looking for a mate. But yeah, everyone's power levels aside from Batman and learning Barry Allen were pretty inconsistent,
right? And then, all right, so what do you think about the lasso of truth scene with Aquaman? I thought that show was hilarious.
That was hilarious, dude. Yeah. It was kind of obvious, too, when he was, like, saying, oh, I'm always so alone. Like, he almost started crying and stuff. And you're like, uh-oh, something's happening.
And then he leaned over to the Flash. He goes, if you repeat any of this, I will kill you.
He said, I honestly didn't hear anything you said after we're all going to die.
Yeah. What a good time. All right.
Speaking of the Flash.
Yeah, let's talk about the Flash.
Well, me and Daniel will start because you have some controversial opinions.
You guys can go first.
Daniel, what did you think of the Flash? What did you think of Ezra Miller's Barry Allen?
I liked him. I thought he was a little quirky.
You better not steal my fucking thing I'm going to say either. I will fucking end you.
I was going to say he's a little quirky. And he seemed a little awkward, but at the same time, I liked him. He brought his comedic timing. I don't know if it was intentional, but certain parts of the movie, he was just extremely funny. He lifted, like, there were certain dark moments in the movie where he kind of brought levity to it.
Yeah. Which is what Barry Allen should do a lot of times. But I
liked him overall. I definitely liked the suit. His CGI was actually some of the better CGI in the movie. In my opinion, it didn't look as awkward and as bad as, say, a Cyborg.
To be honest, it really seemed like they wanted to make him like Evan Peters' Quicksilver.
I kind of got the vibe from that too.
But like less jokey, like as far as like when, like, he's running. But
like, I like the suit itself. Like, the suit kind of like grew on me in the film, but not the whole lightning thing.
Too, like, big I a just... fan of the suit. Yeah, the lightning like protruding. Maybe they did that as like a choice because of having to jumpstart essentially Superman. But I liked Barry Allen quite a bit in this movie. I liked him as I liked Ezra Miller as the Flash. My favorite scene with him was the scene with him and Cyborg digging up Superman.
I
think that was probably the funniest scene he did. But yeah, I thought he had pretty good comic timing, but I also feel like they almost used him to try a little too hard with it, which probably drives into your point.
But I would like to point out my favorite scenes when he's running and he trips and he accidentally falls on top of Wonder Woman.
Oh, and gets up hella fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That probably was my favorite.
That's
like,
pretty funny.
I was like, you lucky bastard.
But it was weird because it almost looked like she enjoyed it a little bit.
I think she was just like smirking because of like how uncomfortable he felt, like awkward he felt.
Right,
like,
yeah.
How fast he got up. She knew. She's like, huh.
All right, guys. Flash, right? Was it just me, or was he like a special kind of like beautiful mind autistic sort of child in this movie? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand. Like, it seemed like he legitimately had like
Asperger's.
He was somewhere on the spectrum of like autism or something. I don't get that part. It's like, it's fine to use a character for comedic relief and stuff, but like to almost borderline like give them like some sort of like mental disability of some sort. Like, I was just like, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah, because like there was times where it just like, my one thing I didn't like about him was there were certain parts of the movie where he just would not shut the fuck up. He'd keep going on like the...
Oh, yeah. He always had something to say.
Like, yeah. He was like just a super awkward guy. Like, it wasn't very like Barry Allen-esque, like, esque. And talking about Barry Allen, like, I didn't like his dad.
Either. Yeah, his, like, dad was weird. His dad reminded me of Jughead's dad from Riverdale.
Right?
But yeah, I get what you're saying. Is like, he almost seemed like Barry Allen is confident and funny in a confident way, you know?
Yeah.
He is witty, whereas this guy is just like, he kind of doesn't really know that he's being funny.
Yeah, like, he's just like awkward as fuck.
And antisocial, doesn't have friends
like,
and
like
that.
A nerdy kind of like vibe to him a little bit. And they use that to like exude like humor out of the character, you know?
Right. Like, and then like he'll catch himself sometimes like realizing like how like things aren't like as socially like he becomes socially aware, but like they try to make it funny where the bat signal, he's like, oh, it's your signal, and he's like, oh, and like he'll cover his mouth, he's like, oh, sorry, it's your signal.
Yeah.
And stuff, and it's like obviously like he's realizing what he's doing, but he's just so excited. And then like when they're digging up Superman, he's like trying to like fist bump Cyborg, and he's like that was a little racially motivated or something, or whatever he said. Yeah. But yeah. So, you know, he's like, he is socially aware, but like it catches up to him later. It's like me when I say things sometimes and then like right after realize what I just
did. Is that why you connect with this character? Are you a beautiful mind person?
I don't know if I necessarily connected with
him.
Yeah, guys, I am totally a beautiful mind.
Like downplayed like his like, because, all right, basically Barry Allen is a very intelligent person, and then like when he gains his powers, he becomes like even smarter because he's able to like comprehend, like he can think faster, he can read faster, he can comprehend things a lot quicker, and you know it makes him almost genius level. But he's already like pretty like borderlining that level of smarts beforehand, and then he gets the powers, then boom.
Maybe,
you know,
it's not even autism spectrum or Asperger's or something. Maybe it is just simply he has social anxiety
or
something.
Or ADHD or ADD.
Yeah,
ADHD.
I mean,
but yeah, I don't know, man. It just,
you don't like that being attributed to his character?
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
For what would you say, like,
they almost had to, though, like, right? It's like they almost had to like make like a funny like socially awkward character, because you have like all these like testosterone driven like guys, big buff motherfuckers that can't fucking turn around to wipe their own ass and shit, like and
you know, Wonder Woman just is so charismatic, like,
yeah,
she's
so,
not gonna be
yeah.
like weird or awkward, you know?
Exactly. And then so where does that leave you? Like, where do you go with the Flash?
Right.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to be an asshole, but, like, Ezra Miller just has one of those very punchable faces, man. Like, you just, like, look at him, and you're just like, what the fuck, dude? Why?
Yeah. I mean, and I guess my question is this one of those things that Daniel gets mad about, the diversity for the sake of diversity kind of thing? Like, are they attributing this to him just to be diverse?
Like, usually I would agree, but in this instance, it didn't really feel that way. Like,
did it feel that way to you with Aquaman?
Absolutely not.
Because, like, even there, I've seen some articles where they're like, oh, Justice League is not a good movie, but it makes strives to be more diverse or in all these things and whatever. Which
I will say this.
It is a more diverse film. I mean,
I will say this about Aquaman, too. It seems like they went out of their way to have him run around shirtless as possible.
Well, they should have, because, I mean, who doesn't want to see Jason Momoa shirtless? I know that's objectification and stuff, but fucking hell, man.
Right. All right. So, moving on from Flash, Wonder Woman, there's not really much to say other than she was fantastic again.
As always, yeah.
Obvious. Let's just talk about what was our favorite scenes from her.
So many good Wonder Woman scenes. I don't know what my favorite Wonder Woman scene was. Probably when she actually... probably the heart-to-heart she had with Bruce, where she was like saying, you know, you're a leader, you're inspiring, and I'm afraid to be that. I'm afraid to come out of the shadows. I'm afraid to lead people, and then actually does decide to become the leader. Where when Batman's like, okay, you guys focus on the mission, and I'm going to lead all these parademons away and probably die. And she takes lead and says, no, we're going to work together as a team, you know, follow the leader. So.
I mean, I kind of like her beginning scene within the bank. You know, it was just kind of good. It's funny, you know. I don't know. That was probably my favorite. Man, how stunning is she, though,
She's amazing, yeah.
Can't get over it.
I would mount
her. Like I said.
I would mount her in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Man, but how lucky is Ezra Miller, man?
For getting to lay on top of her for a couple seconds.
Lucky bastard.
Oh, I know.
And his face is damn near like in between her titties, too.
Motorboating.
Yeah, dude, it looked like it. He's just like, oh.
So did you think like the conflict when Bruce Wayne wanted to resurrect Superman, and like her and Aquaman were kind of like, no. Like, did you think that was a little forced as conflict, or did you think it kind of made sense?
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought it made sense, though, because obviously you're bringing someone back from the dead that you don't know what the actual consequences of that could be. Like, you know.
Yeah, they're even going to be themselves anymore and stuff
so
like that.
So I felt that wasn't really forced.
I mean, Superman, like, after he came back, what's the point of the Justice League? He could have just, you know, beat Steppenwolf by himself.
Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, he was a good villain until Superman entered the fold.
Right. We were talking about Wonder Woman. Yeah, she was great. Yeah. There's nothing else really to say. Right. All star. Go ahead.
Right. Superman then. I enjoyed Superman in this film, which was surprising to me, you know, considering how much I didn't like him in the other ones. I felt like, you know, obviously, it's very hard to judge him based off of the small sample size we even got of him. But like I said in our conversation last night to you guys, that, you know, if the sample size is any real indication of what we can actually get in the future from Superman, this truly does excite me, you know, because I feel like he's really, really good in this movie.
I must have missed it, though. Did they really CGI?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I feel like you've seen that in an article, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I can see that.
Well, look at some of if you look at some of the stills from it, it's pretty funny. Like, his nose has, like, a butt chin in it, like, in close-ups and stuff. Like, you can tell. But, I mean, if you're not looking for it, then you probably can't tell. But once you know, it's, like, blatantly obvious.
But I'll say this. My favorite – well, I guess it does involve Superman, but, like, it was sort of at the end with Batman, Superman, and Martha. Like, that was probably my
– Martha?
Martha? Talking about Martha, right? I think – I mean, because obviously they did it just to contrive the ongoing thing of the only power Batman has is his money. And so he could buy back the farm from the bank. He could buy the bank or whatever, throw around his money. That's what they did. But – On the same thing, it's like that annoyed me that they had her move off the farm. I'm just like, why?
Well,
it never happened.
I mean, it doesn't really go into detail, but I just as under these assumptions.
It was just so they could have that scene with her and Lois.
Yeah.
And so Batman could buy the house at the end. This is what I don't get.
I did start choking up when Martha showed up to when she seen
Clark
for the first time. I was like, oh man, this is emotional.
I would like to point out though, I know she's like hella old now, but I still have a thing for Diane Lane, and she was absolutely beautiful and stunning.
You are ridiculous, too. Get out of here. Leave our studio.
That's funny. Shit, I wanted to say something. Fuck. I forgot what I want to say, but...
I don't know. Do we want to move on to Batman?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't really talk that much about Superman. I want to talk a little more about Superman. Oh,
yeah. Like I said, there's not almost enough to even go off of.
Yeah, but it's still the best version we've got to date. And hopefully they continue with it. His costume was a little brighter blue than usual.
It was. I didn't catch it until you pointed that out.
It was pretty cool. So yeah, I'm a big fan of what they did with Superman in this movie.
So you think Henry Cavill actually can? Like, I know it's still early, but you think he has the potential to be? I won't say a Christopher Reeve, but a decent Superman in the future.
Yeah, I like Superman.
Yeah.
So.
Superman.
I guess we should talk about.
I mean, he's no Tom Welling, right? But
oh Lord.
But he's pretty good. He's pretty good, right? He's pretty good. Eh? He's no Tom Welling. I mean, Tom Welling.
Tom Welling, yes, Tom Welling.
And Jesse Eisenberg.
Piece of shit. We'll get to you, Jesse Eisenberg.
Eisenberg. That's how I always want to say his name. Fucking, what's his fucking face? Batman. Hashtag not my Batman.
Okay, here's
not
the thing,
my
right?
Bats.
In BVS, I liked Batman. Like, I liked Ben Affleck as Batman more than I liked him as Bruce Wayne. In this movie, it's reversed.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Like, there's a lot of things likable about Batman, right? So, but there are equally just as many things to not like about Batman in this movie.
I thought he was kind of a pussy in this movie.
For instance, right? Why is he so bulky? Why? He can't, yo, the new question is, does he wipe his own ass or does fucking Alfred do it for him?
Probably Alfred does.
Probably
it for
fucking
him.
Alfred.
He can't even take his fucking shirt off.
Dude, I know, he's just too fucking ripped. You calm your shit down, Ben.
Right? It's like,
fucking lay off the weights, you juice head.
He probably is on the juice.
He probably is, because fucking there's probably no regulation for fucking Hollywood actors on that type of shit. Another question. Why does Batman have no combat skills? Why? I don't fucking get that.
He gets his ass kicked by parademons.
You know why? Because he's so fucking jacked. He can't fucking move.
Well, I don't understand.
And he's wearing clothes so tight. He's like a fucking person in a snowsuit in the winter.
I don't understand. I'm a penguin. Like he said, like, basically in BVS, he was whooping ass and taking names, like.
Right, and he was smaller in that movie.
And in this one, he
it all comes down to the buffness.
He got his ass beat by one or two parademons. Yeah,
right. That's how I was getting pissed. I was like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
I was like,
"But he
stupid
did."
Stupid bitch next to me sitting there fucking cheering like it's fucking in a concert, going on to a fucking NBA game, fucking throwing her hands about and shit.
Yeah.
Look at him fucking donkey puncher.
Bruce Wayne is like, he's like fighting up, or Batman's like fighting a parademon. And then he's like, oh no, my grappling gun is so far away. I'm going to die. At least like he saved Barry Allen.
So one of the cooler things about Batman in this movie was the beginning scene when it was an obvious trap for the parademon. That is very something Batman would do. He's a very intelligent guy. He always has a plan. He always has plan B, C through Z.
That is
we
true.
Got to see a little more of his detective-ing.
I also like this Mercedes/Batmobile because it was a Mercedes, but it was actually designed in the shape of the Batmobile.
Kind of, yeah, but he also had a Batmobile.
Did he?
Which brings me to my next point. Better selections for cars for Bruce Wayne.
Hell
but
yes.
Still not good enough, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people hate the 90s and the 90s movies of Batman. But there's, like, some things I really did like about those movies, and one of those things in particular, because if you read comics, you know that Bruce Wayne is, like, a car fanatic. He collects cars, vintage cars, he fucking hot rods, vintage motorcycles, and all these sort of things, and they really showed that off in, which one was it? Was it the George Clooney one? It was the George Clooney
Batman
one.
Batman Returns.
Yeah,
but,
Batman
but
Returns.
Even in the Dark Knight trilogy, I mean, you see
like a Lamborghini,
like Lambos and stuff, and like
at least something cool.
Right.
This one was pretty cool, but still not to level. I'm like, that's I don't know. You know.
You still look at that and say, but you did drive a Land Rover.
Exactly right. Like, I could have appreciated it more if it was like a Rolls Royce or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Something high rolling.
You know what I just thought about is, like, there's really no Wayne Manor. I just thought about that. That kind of drives me nuts because he lives on, like, this fucking lake house.
Yeah.
I'm like, what
like,
the?
And
yeah,
when
dude,
Woman
that
came,
was pissing me
and
off,
she's
dude.
Like, she's like, oh, here in Gotham City. I'm like, this is Gotham City? Your fucking lake house? I don't think you're in Gotham City right
not,
now.
Not my fucking Gotham, no, mate. I will say though, the CGI Gotham looked kind of cool. I liked it. I was digging it. Even the CGI Metropolis, I was digging it.
Okay, one question, right?
All right, just one though.
Yeah, I understand. Like they want to like make you like feel something for these Russian people, but they showed like four scenes of them before they left.
Dude,
that were
I
pretty
was
unnecessary.
Dude,
why
I
do
was
we care about the
so
Russian family?
Mad about that.
I'm actually rooting for the parademons at that point.
Yeah, I know. I was like, come on, get them.
Yeah,
fucking,
I was
I
like,
know,
all you have to do is wait till the big conflict and just show people running. Like, also, we're given to understand they're the only fucking Russian people here, and then you see Superman carrying a fucking entire building, which we're
right?
to assume there's a bunch of Russians in there that decided they didn't want to run away
so
in their
I'm
truck.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that pissed me off, too. It's like, they're in the middle of the battle with Steppenwolf, and then they're like, oh, we better go save the Russians. We'll be right back. It's like, why don't you just beat the villain?
It was literally just a thing for them to, like, show who's faster.
Well, that, and I mean, I think they're like, oh, well, we should show them saving people. That's probably something Joss Whedon threw in. Like, he probably threw in all those stupid Russian family scenes, which I love Joss Whedon, but mate, that was a mistake. We don't care about this Russian family. Just show them at the end leaving, and we'll care about them just as much. Like,
I'm actually surprised he didn't put like.
Or just like show them like when the parademons first show up and then never again.
I just felt like I'd rather just have them focus on the battle than the fucking Russian family. I gave two shits about the Russian family. I really did. Like,
right? Yeah. Those scenes like kind of throw you out of the movie a little bit. Like, like again, it's just not focused enough at certain points.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly. I would totally agree with that.
But talking about, you know, we're talking about Batman. Does this mark the end, do you think, for Ben Affleck as Batman?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, because the scene with Wonder Woman and Batman, she goes, you probably won't be able to do this forever. And his response was, I shouldn't be. What did he say? Something about not doing this too much longer? Or
I don't know, but we did see him get thrown around like a rag doll from Superman and then barely be able to get up. Which was pretty funny, to be honest. Like, where he's like laying on the ground.
Yeah,
so how great was it? Fine, like they made him shave his beard, and he looked more like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the beard didn't look half as bad. I've seen a lot worse beards, but
yeah, he was.
I'm not judging the quality of his beard. I'm saying,
but
I don't really see Bruce Wayne walking around
better
with a beard.
He did look a lot better without the beard, though. I do agree.
He looked, you know, when he's like putting on a suit and stuff like that, he looked more of like a Bruce Wayne sort of person.
Yeah. I liked his Bruce Wayne a lot more than his Batman, to be honest, because his Batman was just kind of like there, I guess, to assemble the team, and then other than that, pretty pointless, to be honest.
I thought he was pretty much the bitch of the Justice League in the movie.
Yeah, that was like an ongoing joke. That was Josh Whedon there, I can guarantee it.
Yeah, which is funny because he's popular for making a lot of his characters do classic Batman things, like Angel and stuff, like would be constantly compared to like Batmaning and stuff, jumping out windows and disappearing and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, obviously we know Whedon likes Batman, but like this movie, I don't know if it was him or Snyder or what, but Batman was kind of turned into a joke in a way.
I'm guessing like, Snyder.
Yep.
I doubt it. Yeah. I don't know, but we also get to see this side of him, a new side of him, which is pretty interesting, but I guess we're all assuming Flashpoint is going to delete him and we're going to get a younger Batman for this team, the rumor is going around Jake Gyllenhaal, which you're a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's a great actor, honestly.
He's hit or miss, though, in my eyes. Like, the certain movies, he's great. Like, Southpaw, he was fucking fantastic.
Well, people talk about him for the idea of Bruce Wayne or Batman. They say, look at the great work he did in Nightcrawler. Which I haven't seen, but from what I saw from the previews, he's like kind of crazy in that movie. Wouldn't that be more of a Joker kind of character?
No, I mean, I don't know, dude. I've never watched the movie, so I can't really judge it off that performance.
Well,
but I've seen him in a lot of other things, and every movie I've ever watched from him, I loved him. Like, I think he is such a great actor, honestly.
I absolutely hated Donnie Dark World.
Yeah, no, he gives a fuck what you hate.
To me, it's his weakest performance, but I mean, he's hit or miss, like.
I would disagree. I mean, everybody has their own preference in actors and actresses. But
I actually, honestly, I couldn't give you a name off the top of my head right now who would be a good Batman, to be honest with you. So I guess if they're
I know who could be a good Bruce Wayne.
Who?
Christian Bale.
Boo.
Hey, nobody can argue. He was a wonderful fucking Bruce Wayne, dude.
Yeah,
he was an
they really played to his persona, his Bruce Wayne persona, more than, you know, who Bruce Wayne is, quote unquote. But like the persona of the supermodels and the yachts and all this kind of stuff, like they played into that hard, and I think that worked really well.
Right. So. It's just, you know.
Whereas this Bruce Wayne is a fucking hermit. Like, just hiding around with Alfred, having butt sex and shit.
At the lake house.
Doing detective work somewhere, quote-unquote, in Gotham.
So was this like, the beginning of, like, what Batman turns into before he finds Terry?
Probably, like, fucking scars and bruises all over him because he fell from 3 feet in the air from Superman and can't get up because his suit is so fucking tight.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
He had to hit his life
alert
for Wonder Woman.
Hit my life
alert
for me.
Not to mention a Wonder Woman.
Wait, Daniel has a life alert that he can let him borrow.
I probably could, but.
And a walker.
You can apply for those now, right, huh, Daniel? You're up there in age.
Did you get your AARP card yet?
Hey, I'm almost close enough for my senior discount at the movie, so shut up. But
I bet you can't wait for that, huh?
I can't.
Pathetic.
For now, you just borrow your grandma's.
Pretty much. But the bruising, too. Remember, fucking Wonder Woman put a beating on him a little bit, too, when he got a little sassy with her about the...
Oh, Steve Trevor? She didn't really put a beating on him. She just kind of, like, said, watch yourself, buddy.
She
punched him in the gut, I mean, but if she wanted to, she could have punched a hole straight through his chest. Let's be fair.
Hiya!
I let her punch me anywhere.
I bet you would, queer.
Yeah.
But.
So, I mean, we've covered pretty much mostly everything, right? Except for the post-credit scenes.
Most of the characters. I mean, what about Commissioner Gordon? We didn't get a lot of him, but...
How can you judge off of, like, 5 seconds of him?
It's funny,
You can't judge anything off of, like, 5 seconds.
Okay, did you go through your whole list?
I did go through.
Okay, I'm going to go through my list then. Because, you know, I was just going with your list. But yeah, one of the things, characters are all pretty strong, definitely. This movie did a lot to undo BVS, as I said. I love the symbolism of this movie. They really played hard into how symbolic Superman is and what that means. And even some of the other characters, like and when you get that the end where he takes his glasses off, spreads his shirt, you're just like, wow, fucking amazing. Like, and that almost moved me to tears, just that symbolism. So
moved you to tears.
Yes.
You're pathetic.
Oh my god,
human
I just
beings.
Deleted my fucking note.
You fucking wuss.
He deserves you right.
Hold on.
Yep. You're pathetic.
Recently
human.
Deleted. Ha ha.
Wussy.
No, I loved the symbolism and how they used that and the thematic stuff that
I mean, it moved
movie.
Me as well, but not to tears, man.
Yeah.
How does it move to you to tears?
He's just taking his shirt off. Were you upset that he didn't actually take it completely off so he could
shut
see
your
it?
Fucking face.
You got a raging hard on for Henry, boy?
No, I just I like
that Heston.
I love how they utilized like the symbolism and the themes of that and the history of the characters were in the previous films, like we didn't see our characters, you know? They nailed these characters in a way that
nailed them.
The previous movies failed to do so. Yes, they utilize the history and power of the characters.
He wants a dirty Sanchez from Henry.
Shut your fucking dick, Daniel.
High five.
And then, okay, here's the thing, right?
Right.
The use of their real names in front of civilians constantly was something you kind of have to get past. Like, Aquaman outed Batman, Bruce Wayne as Batman in front of a bunch of Icelanders, probably. I think they're in Iceland.
Right.
And then, like, when Superman came back, they're all like, Clark, 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 and all these police officers are around and stuff. Like, obviously, it's Clark Kent, right?
And then, like, Batman's, like, over-willingness to share his identity, which
everyone.
Is historically one of his best-kept secrets.
Yeah. And also, let's be real, guys.
Okay.
Who's more convincing when you're trying to join a team, Bruce Wayne or Batman? Like, I'm putting together a team. My name's Bruce Wayne. Okay. Or, guys, you want to join my awesome team of superheroes? Yeah. Yeah, I fucking voice. Do. Shut your fucking dick, Daniel. Also, right, one of the scenes was cut out of this movie was the scene in the trailer where Alfred says he said you'd come, and this dumbass over here, Daniel, said, he's talking to the Green Lantern, which he's clearly fucking not. I even had a friend ask me, which on a previous podcast, he said, who's he talking to? I said, it's definitely Superman. This is the scene, I think, cut out of the movie, because we never find out how Superman knows they're in Russia. He doesn't just fucking know that off the top of his head. I'm pretty sure he goes to Alfred, and Alfred says, yeah, Bruce Wayne told me you'd come because he knew you'd want to come help save the day. They're in Russia. That is my prediction.
Correct.
Of a scene that was cut out of the movie. And when the Ultimate Edition comes out and I'm right, I will make a fucking theme song.
Circle gets the square.
So Daniel, what do you have to say about how wrong you were?
I'm never wrong, so good luck with that.
So yeah, that is the movie minus the post-credit scenes, which we'll get into in a minute, but overall thoughts, very enjoyable film, I think. They nail the characters. Story needs work. Overall grade, I give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. That's so high.
Is it?
So high.
I give it a 7.5.
You're ridiculous, Daniel.
Not really.
Did this movie give you a stiffy?
Only when one...
Like, I lie somewhere in between, like, 6.0 to 6.5. Like, there... I obviously... This was, like... like leaps and bounds better than like the previous like three movies, you know.
Right.
Well, I mean, other than one movie, we're not talking about that because that's just on a next level type of thing. But you know, Man of Steel, BVS, Suicide Squad, leaps and bounds better than. There's a huge gap in comparison, you know. Like they're not even close.
Well, when you look at it, right, even between this movie and Wonder Woman to me is a 9.5 out of 10. This movie is a 7. I mean. It's a golf. It's still
yeah.
a golf, you know?
I don't know. Like, I'd have to give it, like, somewhere in between, like, a 6.0 to 6.5. like a strong C-minus movie.
Which even there's a gulf. Because what would you give Suicide Squad? I'd give it like a 4 or 4.5.
I think
you know?
I gave it like a 3 or something, didn't I?
I don't know.
I probably did.
I think when we first watched the movie, like I think you enjoyed it more than we do now.
I don't remember, dude.
But I know we gave like BVS under a 1. I think I gave it a 1.5. You gave it like
I thought I gave it like a 0.0.
Daniel, talking to the mic. I can't fucking hear you.
What movie did you give a 1.5?
BVS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's so fucking horse piss.
Scott gave it between a 0.0 and a 0.5. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was fucking dog shit.
I like
shit.
How you're talking about horse piss when one of the complaints we had was the horses in that movie. Did they piss into the bagpipes?
Funny.
Yeah.
Fucking real funny.
Daniel, what do you grade? You said 7.5?
I did.
And you said 6.325?
Something like that. Like, it was a strong C, and, like, I did actually enjoy the movie, but I can't just, like, sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, the movie, like, plot-wise, you know, there's so many holes. There's, like, things wrong with the characters. There's a pacing, obvious pacing issue. There's a obvious thing that the movie was too short and there's a lot of scenes cut out. Oh, yeah, I think I'll give it, like, a 7.5. You know, I can't in good conscience do that. I have fucking standards,
yeah,
Christian.
Yeah, so I take 3 whole points away for all those problems. I give it credit for its symbolism, the advancement it's making, the future. This movie is the only movie besides Wonder Woman that gets you excited for the future of DC. And this is the only post-credit scene we get that gets you excited and looking forward to more movies. Because
right?
No other movie gave us a post-credit scene like this in the DCEU. When were we ever like, oh, I can't fucking wait to see what happens next?
All right. So, talking about post-credit scenes, man. Number one on the list, right?
Yes.
Oh, dude, got my juices flowing, dude. Got my dick so hard. I don't know, man. It was exciting. Fucking... Look at Daniel. He's so
I think
confused.
Daniel's imagining your dick growing hard, and he's kind of letting his dick grow hard as well.
That's funny coming from the guy that got a hard on from a shirtless Henry Cavill.
Yeah, calm down, Iceman.
Okay, guy who wants to suck John Bernthal's dick. I watch Daredevil season 2 because John Bernthal's in it, but I won't watch season 1 because
coming
he's
from
not.
The guy that like for a month straight every time he called you and I heard him. Oh, I heard they're not doing the Punisher.
Oh, the Punisher. Oh, do you hear this bullshit? It's getting delayed. It's been fucking delayed, dude.
Dude, when's the Punisher coming out, guys?
Dude, you know what I heard about the Punisher? I just heard that it wasn't very good. But how can it not be good? It has John Bernthal in it. He was amazing as Shane in The Walking Dead. And did you watch Daredevil season 2?
Dude, Christian, do you know what happened when I was fucking my sister cousin?
When I was hanging out with Uncle Dad and Aunt Mom, it was unbelievable. We were talking about John Bernthal, and I was like, I wish he was my cousin so I could fuck him straight in the bumhole.
Yeah, don't try to roast us, you
fucking
fucker.
Inbred.
Anyways, so the race between The Flash and Superman, super symbolic. How historic of a race, you know,
that was amazing.
And that's like when you first discover just how, you know, powerful the Flash is, you know, this whole time we always thought like, you know, Superman, Flash, they're both super fast. That's all you ever really think about it. Right. And then that race happens and he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I was always holding back. And then he just fucking like zooms off, dude, and like just leaves fucking Superman to eat a fucking big pile of dog shit.
Yeah. And that's in the comic books. In the movie, we don't see the actual race.
Yeah, and then, like, you get, like, you know...
We just see them start.
Huh, huh, huh. I
and, like, they were putting stakes on it. And Superman's like, oh, if I win, you're out of the Justice League.
Dude, so talking about beautiful mind fucking Flash over here. How ridiculous did he look when he was running?
Oh, yeah, he was...
It was, like, worse than Christian in his raptor arms.
Okay, guys, hold on. I don't run like a fucking raptor, okay?
Yes, you do.
More like, even Scott said, oh, yeah, I just make fun of you. I don't really think you run like
think you run like a raptor.
Yeah, you run like fucking Big Bird.
Daniel fucking 85 years old over here thinks he could beat me in a race. Also thinks he can beat me in soccer. Dude fucking can't even walk 2 steps without needing a cigarette.
Hey, I've gone almost a whole hour without one, so shut up.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, but you also
have
like one in your hand that you've been putting in and out of your mouth all the time.
Yeah, I remember last year around
Christmas
time.
It's not the only thing you put in and out of your
mouth
either.
I was like, Daniel, are you going to quit smoking? You're like, yeah, come New Year's, dude, I'm getting the patch. What happened to that?
2 days later.
Oh, yeah. Lasted two days. Spent how much on that patch?
All right, dude. Anyway. Let's get back on topic. Yes. Post-credit scene number two.
Dos.
So you go to, presumably maybe Arkham. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure where they have him.
Or Blackgate.
Yeah, or Blackgate. And then you find out, Lex isn't there. And then you get cut to a yacht where you see, Deathstroke driving up on a speedboat to a yacht. And then fucking Lex is there. And even like that small scene, you see a difference in Lex Luthor.
Yes.
In his tone. He's not so jokey all the fucking time.
He's not so fucking adolescent. And fucking.
He does my fucking head in.
Tweeny, fucking bullshit, petulant little child. Yeah, he's much better. And Deathstroke was so cool.
Yeah, dude.
He looked cool. He had cool fucking gray hair and a beard.
You want to suck his dick or something, mate?
No, I was just doing my Daniel voice.
Oh.
But what I am happy about this is that I thought with the whole new Batman movie fucking being pretty much down the shithole, we were gonna lose him as Deathstroke, but the fact that they actually brought him in and showcased him for possibly being in the next one made me fucking happy because he is he's a great actor, and I think he can do a lot of justice to that role.
Yeah, dude.
Totes agreed.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited for where we're going. It looks like we're heading into the Legion of Doom, pretty much.
Yep.
Where we'll recruit Black Manta from Aquaman.
Yeah.
We'll probably recruit Black Adam, who is said to be the villain of Suicide Squad 2, maybe.
Potentially.
And who else? Who else? I don't know. Not Steppenwolf. That's the other thing that didn't really make sense. The parademons attacked him and then, took them off the planet. Why would they leave? Where are they going?
Yeah, I don't fucking know, dude. There's a lot of things that didn't make sense in this fucking movie.
And he also made them parademons. He turned, Amazons and shit into parademons. That's, where they came from.
Yeah, dude. And fucking, I didn't understand.
And then they,
shit.
Smelled his fear. He was never afraid in his life before or something. And fucking.
Oh, he wasn't.
Took him off to the middle of nowhere.
But, fucking DC fans around the world fucking hail this as the greatest thing to ever fucking grace our fucking eyes.
Of course they would.
But we have to give them a little bit of credit for this movie. It could have been utter shite.
I think it was much better than I thought it was going to be. And up until the day of, I really wasn't excited.
Yeah. I was trying to be excited, but I was nervous.
Yeah.
You know? It's with BVS, I was excited too, but then I kept seeing the reviews coming out and stuff, and I was trying to keep an open mind, and I was so conflicted, and I didn't want to be a DC fanboy. I didn't want to be a Marvel fanboy paid off by Disney to give bad reviews on DC movies, because that's, you know that, right? Every bad review is paid off by Disney, you know? And even the Rotten Tomatoes thing, guys, there's this controversy about Rotten Tomatoes because they released the score really late. And people are like, oh, Disney paid him to do that? No, I'm pretty sure Disney didn't pay him to do that, because why would you release a score so fucking late? People already bought their tickets by that point. So with a neutral score of nothing, people are still going to go see it and make up their minds themselves.
Persistently.
That sounds to me more like Warner Brothers paid them to do that. But okay, I don't believe in all this paying people off and all this shit, these conspiracy theories that make you feel better about your shit-tacular movies like BVS, but believe what you want.
All right, guys, that was our review and discussion on Justice League. Yeah, that's what the movie's called. Almost forgot
that
for a
second. What are we talking about again?
What are you talking about, guys? As always, make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. We also have a website designed by Christian himself, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Make sure you guys follow me on twitch.tv/CaptainHotSauce and follow my stream Twitter account. Yeah. It's Captain_HotSauce.
I would tell you guys to follow Daniel on Twitter, but he's always
blocked or banned.
He's probably banned
at some point, you know?
Yeah, so... he's just here occasionally.
Daniel,
if you
go
want
fuck yourself.
To hear more from Daniel, let us know. If you say, hey, this guy sounds really stupid, I want to hear him be stupid again. Or I like hearing you guys take the piss out of him. We'll try to get him on more. But if you don't like him, then we'll tell him just to never fucking come back.
Either way, it works for
us.
Or
you know what, guys? We'll just do whatever the fuck we want. How about that?
Yeah. So. All right, guys. That's all we have for you guys. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
You
and that's fucking dumbass Daniel.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message, and that's
stay nerdy, boys.